Hey everyone, this is Matt from Star Wars in Character, and I wanted to forewarn anyone listening to this episode that we experienced a technical issue during this recording. This episode was recorded with all of us in the same room, and we were using some of our portable recording gear. Well, one of those recorders we were using failed right before starting the trivia portion of this episode. It was the device recording Dave and Tim specifically. Now, luckily, we had three other microphones and two other recorders going when it happened. So while the recording takes a major downturn in quality at about the 49 to 50 minute mark into the show, we were able to get some form of the recording of the trivia section. There is a lot of background noise, and Dave and Tim are a little difficult to hear. So my personal apologies for this issue, and I hope it doesn't affect anyone's enjoyment of this episode. I'll be back to introduce that trivia segment before the quality change. And be sure to stay after the episode credits of this episode to hear a special Celebration 6 recap we recorded after the last night of the convention. As always, thanks for listening.
Someone in our audience is snoring.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about the Death Star.
That's no moon.
I had to say that because there's no soundboard for this episode. We're not in the ordinary area where we usually are at.
Hello there.
What did you say?
In Orlando, last night on from Celebration 6. So we are out of our...
This is the first time we are doing an episode all in the
together.
Same room.
Yep. And Tim is naked.
And even in the same time zones.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a momentous occasion.
It is. And we have a special guest star. Yes. Smitty!
Hello there.
Would you look at Lumpy?
I love you.
I know.
You get it all out of the way.
You can do it all now.
I'll isolate those clips and just randomly drop them in while we're editing.
Well, come on.
Don't do that.
No one's done Anakin yet.
Yeah, this is us doing Star Wars in Character acoustically.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Unplugged. Like character unplugged.
Unplugged.
Coffee house.
No! Well, the Death Star appears in Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, but in like an ultimate weapon plan form kind of style.
A booby?
Hello there. Episode 3, Return, Revenge of the Sith. I'm a dragon. Episode 4, New Hope. And Episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
Are we talking about... That's a different Death Star, though. Are we talking about that one?
We're talking about all the Death Star.
That's Death Star 2.
All right. So the Star Tours one, too?
Ooh. No.
Oh, well.
Well, don't they...
What's him saying?
On the new Star Tours, do they fly through the new Death Star?
Do they
fly through Death Star 1?
Death Star 2, I think, is what it was.
Is it?
I've gone that 7 times.
I haven't
been. So the original Star Tours was...
Star 3.
We will
learn about that in a future episode.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I have that information for my character.
I'd be anxious to hear about that because I don't even have any idea what you're talking about. I thought that was just supposed to be... You know,
there's something worth coming back for then.
Okay. Dave.
Yes, we got Dave for one more show at least. Now.
I was going to quit, but.
My name is Reactor Core Chris.
Classy.
Uh huh.
You're only 2 meters wide. Oh, wait, no, that's an exhaust port.
Chris's exhaust port is much bigger than that.
Yes, it has been lately.
Oh, jeez.
Today I'm joined by Hyper Matter.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Do you know what that is?
I do.
An exotic form of particles used in the Hyper Matter, which how can you use the same word in definition?
What?
Annihilators of immense battle stations. They wrote it down. So.
It's what the laser is of the Death Star, basically. It's created in a Hyper Matter chamber. Reactor.
That was an easy one to get.
I just want to point out our studio audience, all of them are asleep.
Yes. Yep.
All three of them.
Now it's time to take advantage of them.
One of them's a dog.
I want that one.
He's not picky.
Don't call Karen that. To my left.
Don't call Karen.
Yeah, I did. To my left, for a change, is Despair Dave. Is that how you say it? Despair?
Yeah, I did come across that somewhere.
Hey.
That's a pretty good pronunciation, I think. We need Leland Chi here to tell us the real deal.
Correct pronunciation is Despair Dave.
Does anybody want to help me with a quick name for Smitty?
Death Star Dave.
Death Star Dave. Death Star Smitty. Death
somehow,
Star Smitty.
I feel like that's recycled.
Dave Smithar.
What?
I don't know.
Wait, you can't do something with Sith, maybe?
Oh, Revenge of
Dave.
The Smith.
Revenge of the Smith.
Oh. I like Smitty in there. I like Smitty.
Revenge of the Smithy.
Revenge of the Smitty.
They Venge of the Smith.
There you go.
And last but not least, now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational battle stage, Tim.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Good. Are you brainless?
Well,
no, not really, no.
Despair Dave?
Yes.
Is that really what
please
it is?
Share with us some of your facts about the Death Star.
All right. Well, this is actually Tim's idea to branch out a little here.
Branch out.
Because if you're a regular listener, you may be saying already, the Death Star's not a character. Star Wars in character. But Tim had a good idea. We can branch out. We did... other things here and there. We did the Wampas and stuff like that. Yeah. So we can do some technology here, too.
I'm sorry. Someone in our audience is snoring.
I think it's Tim.
I can only hope the mic picked that up.
Thank you for the vote of confidence.
We're being heckled.
Heckled.
It's like there's two Muppets.
Heckled by sleep.
Yeah, it's the Statler and Waldorf of Star Wars in character there on the floor.
All right, well, the Death Star is a moon-sized Imperial battle station with the power to destroy an entire planet with its super laser.
Thank you, Alan Dr. Parsons. Yeah.
But there's actually a lot of pretty interesting information about the Death Star. I thought this was going to be snooze fest. And when Tim said it, I actually kind of thought it was not going to work out that well. But I could not be more wrong. So thank you, Tim.
Well, someone in our audience already disagreed.
Oh, yeah?
While she was laying there snoring, remember?
Oh.
I haven't gotten started yet.
I put that behind me.
Okay.
So the Death Stars came about because of something called the Tarkin Doctrine. Or it was also known as the Doctrine of Fear. Oh. It's really one of the pillars of the...
Christopher Walken?
One of the pillars of the Empire's reign, and it pretty much detailed how they would keep order and secure the galaxy. And they were always commanded by Moffs. Now, I was going to ask Tim about this. He knows more about this stuff than at least I do. So the only Moffs you see are Tarkin and Jajarid, right?
Yeah, on screen. I'm sure in the books there's all sorts of different other Moffs.
Which one's Jajarid, the guy from the second Death Star?
Yeah, okay. I need more men.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yep. That first scene. So that was the...
Or is that you just saying that, Tim?
Well, no. I do need I do need more men. Me and Jajarid, we have something in common.
It's raining
I.
men. Hallelujah.
We shall double our efforts.
Well, there was really 1.5 Death Stars as far as I was concerned until Matt started talking about something else. And there was also these other things. And we talked about this on an earlier episode. There was something called the Tarkin.
Oh, yeah.
I did a little more research on it, and it was a smaller version of the Death Star, but it was a ship. If you look online, there's actually pictures of it. It's a massive ship. It's like bigger than Star Destroyers, but it's not as big as...
Is it a ballista?
No. Oh. It looks like a ship. And in this story, I assume from some comic, Luke blew it up from the inside out in the Millennium Falcon.
Oh.
In what time period? Like between like Star Wars and Jedi kind
of
thing?
Yeah. Yeah. And based on the picture, if you look at it online, it looks like a comic drawing. So I can't say this for sure, but it looks like one of the Marvel, like the, you know, the original Marvel comics, that awesome, like, original.
Either Marvel or, there was a newspaper strip. Not a Japanese one like we talked about in the Mouth Crim. There was a newspaper strip also. really? So, yeah, it may have been in one of those two.
Okay.
I don't like the fact that Luke was flying the Falcon.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't like that at all.
One-handed.
I kind of think it's cool, though. Yeah. Like, he's borrowing his buddy's car.
That's Hans.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
I love you.
I know.
Well, the other thing that I found out...
Watch that crossfire, boy.
I didn't know this was the case, but there was also a Hutt version along the same lines. It was called the Darksaber.
Oh, that is in possibly the worst Star Wars novel ever written.
Oh, yeah?
Darksaber. It is so bad.
What's the name of the novel?
Darksaber.
Oh, that's the name of it?
Yes, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I saw a picture of that, too. It's also not round. It's a... It looks like
the weapon of the Death Star.
Okay.
They didn't build the rest of the Death Star,
just the laser.
Okay.
And because of when it's shot, it looked like a lightsaber. It's a Kevin J. Anderson novel, who's already not one of my favorite authors, or actually probably one of my most hated authors. Mm-hmm. It's just a terrible book.
All right. This was all news to me as I was looking at it. It had you're talking about this hypermatter reactor.
Right,
it's the thing that is the weapon, the laser, and I learned about that it really took an entire day for that to recharge. It's kind of like the Green Lantern's ring. Like you had to kind of ration out if you wanted to blow some shit up, because
brightest day and darkest night.
Yeah,
no evil shall escape the Death Star.
But with the second Death Star though, they could just fire that thing at will, pretty much.
That was because I thought about that too. They said when they were shooting from that in the second one, they were that wasn't like its full load.
Oh, okay. Oh, they were just Chris. Like
what
it's
was
like
that?
Blowing up a ship.
Yeah,
blowing up a ship versus a planet.
Yeah, they could ration it out if you wanted to destroy another planet.
Yeah.
Once Alderaan was destroyed, you had to wait a day to destroy another planet. But yeah, you're right about that.
I want to destroy a planet today.
Could you actually may explain why it took them? Why they actually went around Yavin to get to the moon and we got to take a half an hour to get around this planet versus just blowing up Yavin and going straight through.
Right?
Uh-huh.
That is excellent analysis.
I like that.
Now, could they blow up two moons without having to recharge? Like, let's say
that'd be a lot of loads.
They could blow up.
They blew their wad on Alderaan.
Let's say there's two small moons.
Yeah.
Could they blow that? Like, could they, like, oh, we'll just ramp down the energy a little bit? Blow one.
Maybe that wasn't in the first version. Maybe they just had, like, one setting.
It was just one setting. Like,
blow
off,
it all
on.
Up. And yeah. Then we got away today.
On, off.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because
what happens if you miss?
you're screwed. Vader chokes you.
She don't get pregnant.
Wow.
2 meters, Chris. 2 meters.
It's like throwing a Death Star down the hallway. Oh, wait, what?
Well, the differences in the two Death Stars were. Are you all right?
The meters.
That's a metric system. The rest of the world will understand that.
No. The differences in the two Death Stars were pretty vast. The one from A New Hope was much smaller than the original. In fact, I have all kinds of measurements here, but. We can get into that if you want. But the funniest thing that I found, one of the funniest things, is that there were, at least on the first Death Star, leisure activities.
Oh, tennis? Okay.
There were parks.
Parks? Well, it's a sizable moon. You can have parks.
Yeah, there were
like swings and slides?
Well, you know, like a place to like exercise and walk. You know, like
chicks.
There were malls.
Was there Darth malls?
There was... No, but I bet there was Starbucks.
Oh!
This is the best part. There was a bar.
Oh, there better be a
Admiral
bar.
Ack bar?
That was
Don't ever
funny.
Give him champagne again.
So I mean, it sounds like this is like the Starship Enterprise in Voyager. It's like it's not only the crew, but it's all their family. And all that kind of stuff. Was it that kind of thing on the Death Star?
It didn't say anything about families. Okay. This was just for like when you're off duty.
Okay.
Like, there were so many people, and I'll tell you later how many people were on there.
Yeah, off duties.
Like, when you're off duty, you know, you're out in deep space. It's like being on a, you know, like on a submarine, you know, like you're in deep space for so long, you got to have something to do. So there was a bar. It was called the Hard Heart Cantina. And I swear, I look it up. There's
the Blue Oyster.
I'm just waiting.
I know, really? Because it's like, okay, I mean, you're going to tell us how many people were on this thing, but as far as we know, they're all men.
All men.
If there's no families there.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then,
the Blue Death Star.
In the Navy. You can walk a desktop park in the Navy.
Well,
you can go to desktop bar.
It was run by a Twi'lek named Mema Ruthes. So I don't know if Mema Ruthes is a man or a woman. I'll find out in a second here.
Sounds like a girl
but
name.
Mema. This was actually a chain.
What?
Because there was another one on Coruscant
like
called
Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, exactly.
TGI McScratcheries.
There was one on Coruscant called the Soft Heart Cantina.
Oh. Soft and hard.
And, you know, at the Hard Heart, you could get yourself a Mon Calamari seaweed mash.
Tasty.
Gross.
And my favorite, this is the name of a drink, a walk in the fallopian forest.
Oh, whoa. God, are you kidding me?
No. I do that every night.
Look, Tim.
So, hold on, wait, I got to
read it and weep.
Read
it okay,
see.
I'm gonna click on this link.
Go for it.
Oh, dear God, I don't even
don't
want
go down that rabbit
dear
hole.
God. Dear God, no.
It's an alcoholic beverage. Served on the so this is a local favorite.
Sure,
local to what, the Death Star?
Yeah,
it costs 50
wherever
credits.
They are.
It costs 50 credits, and it had 10 different colored layers of liquid, each with their own densities and a required precision on the part of the bar. So this sounds like it takes a lot of. I mean, I've seen drinks that have like two or three layers. This has 10 layers. Can you imagine that shooter?
Right. So, but getting back to the name,
yes.
I mean, do you think it's do you think the name of that drink is like, oh, yes, it's a really racy named drink because it's about reproductive organs? Or do you think that it's like, oh, no, this is a weird-sounding word that we're just going to use to mean something totally different in the Star Wars universe?
I think it's
something different because it's spelled differently. It's P-H-E-L-O-P-E-A-N. It's spelled differently.
In that case, sir,
you think it's supposed to be sexy, Tim?
I'm drinking the liquid of a fallopian.
You always think that. Sexy. You think everything's supposed to be sexy.
Sexy.
Do they have a Greedo shot first on there?
No.
Greedo shot, first shot?
That would be good, though.
That's the thing that Vegas needs, is the cantina.
Yeah. They used to have one.
Now the Quark's bar is down. We need the freaking cantina.
F.E.O. Schwartz had a soda bar.
Oh, did they?
With the cantina, built like the cantina. But no, a booze cantina would be far better.
Well, I have an answer to my question. Mema Ruthie's is a very, very
oh my goodness
sexy.
How did she survive Lou on Twi'lek the without getting
that? Get
but still, male or female?
Female.
Oh, female.
Okay. Let me see.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, so she's got her hands full on the Death Star there.
So there's Tim right now. Let me see that, Tim.
See what?
You have to scroll down.
You have to clean the screen off there.
Yep.
So on the Death Star, there were 15,000.
Wow. Sorry, Dave.
Where you're looking at, it's just a painting.
So I need.
Giving you something you can feel. Mema.
Hello.
It's like Book Shields, it's your Twi'lek.
Yeah, kind of does.
All right, well, there was 15,000 lasers, the ion cannons, on the surface of the Death Star.
Jesus.
Pew, pew.
There was 768 tractor beam mechanisms. So, you know, like, I guess the one tractor beam you see used, you know, there was 767 other ones just all around it. So they could do that from anywhere. It wasn't like they just had to suck them into that one spot.
And they can all get knocked out by one old guy flipping a switch.
Yeah. The first Death Star was 160 kilometers in diameter, and the second Death Star was 900 kilometers in diameter, if it had been completed. So it was
10 times, almost 10 times bigger?
It was 10
no,
times,
like 5 times bigger.
Yeah, it was huge compared to the first one.
Size matters, right?
Do you have any information on the propulsion system?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
Oh.
The propulsion system were ion engines. It was like, the way I read it, it's almost like when you think, like you see the footage of the space shuttle, how they just like the little would come out to just steer it one way and then to steer it the other way. That's all it was. It was silent. as not to, you know, let a planet or somebody know that they were approaching. So there were like silent ion engines that were
silent but deadly.
You couldn't notice a planet size or moon size space station sneaking up on you.
Right.
Well, no.
Wouldn't show up on radar or sensors or anything.
Well, come on.
Well, come on. The idea for the Death Star was that of someone named Wraith Sinar, but Tarkin's really the one that kind of took it and ran with it. He told the Emperor about it, and the Geonosians.
Good plan.
The Geonosians came in where this hypermatter reactor is concerned. There's some kind of crystal that's found in their hive on Geonosis. So it was the science of this hive and the help of Poggle the Lesser.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
PTL.
Well.
All right. Here it is.
Here it is. What do you think that means, Tim?
Means, oh, man.
All that means, oh, man.
Oh, man. They're very long-winded.
Well, I think it was basically, you know, that like when they shoot in those movies, that green shit in their weapons and the green shit in the walls. It's like their hive. Like the stuff from episode two. That's what was, there's some kind of crystal in that that was taken to create this hypermatter reactor. So, and that's the scene, you know, in episode two where he's handing over the blueprint. But,
also bring this to my master.
Now, I had a question for you guys because I'm an idiot. Yeah. And I watched episode three, you know, once or twice. And there's the scenes at the end where Obi-Wan and Anakin are fighting. And they're fighting on all that metal crap. When I saw that, I thought that that was the pieces of the Death Star that were being molded on Mustafar. Is that, am I just an idiot?
I never thought of that, but.
That had nothing to do with the Death Star.
No,
it would be cool if that were true, but I think those are literally just the mining facilities, like the office buildings and administrative buildings. Mm. That's what it always seemed like to me. Like they were just sort of hanging out over there so they could observe the little mining bots floating down the lava river.
Mining bots.
That's what I always thought that was.
And we see those in the Clone Wars. We see those same buildings in the Clone Wars animated series where it's basically the same thing. And so we're talking a few years before they even start building that Death Star frame that we see in at the end of episode three. So I have a feeling that those are not parts of the Death Star.
Okay. Because I was like searching for that high and low, and I found nothing about it, and I just decided at that point I was an idiot. Because I've always thought that was the case. So
I'll have to go back and look at those again.
I like my idea better.
You should have asked Leland when you had the chance. Yeah. He's right there.
Right in front of you.
Well, you look at Leland. Well, many planets were forced to work on the Death Star without even knowing that they were doing it. And after the Jedi Purge, Kashyyyk was actually attacked and the Wookiees were enslaved to work on the Death Star.
That sounds like that thing from Batman Begins, where you had China make 1 million part of something and Taiwan make 1 million part of the other half or something.
That's basically what it was. They were like subcontracting everywhere because it was such a big project and it was a secret. So they were just enslaving races of people saying, make this shit. It's like Kathy Lee, you know?
I need 400 secret bolts. Secret.
So, you know, the one thing I wanted to ask Tim about this because he remembers more about this stuff than I do. Do you remember doing the IG-88 episode?
Yeah.
There was something in the story that you told us that at the end, IG-88's memory was put into the Death Star. So at one point, IG-88 was the Death Star.
Yeah, is the second Death Star. Somehow he keeps changing his, basically where his hard drive is, and he keeps moving his memory from computer to computer. And so he finds his way onto a computer that is going to the second Death Star. So he loads his consciousness onto there. And when it is installed into the second Death Star, he basically becomes a virus that takes over the entire space station.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, technically he is a 900 kilometer meter wide IG-88.
Right.
It just floats. He's got no arms or legs. Ain't got no legs. But he did, from what I understand, I think if I remember the story, he didn't do much except for open and close doors on people.
Yeah, that's what it was. I remember there was something really stupid. He was like a jokester.
Suck at your Jared.
Like plugged in, like when he plugged in and released his whatever. into the Death Star.
I don't think it was.
Was he just like stuck there? And where was he? Did he like walk away then and still walk around? Like, how did he move it and shut the doors? Like, not attached to some kind of.
Well, he was. He was port. Part of their actual computer. He was the. He was the main computer base of the entire thing. So he wasn't physically there. It wasn't like you could walk up and see an IG-88 slumped against the wall like, with a plug up into
like
his head.
Numb, like, you know, after, you know, someone just...
No, like, he left it. He left his IG-88 body behind, and he became one with the Death Star computer system. If you were an assassin droid, you'd understand.
You're right.
You're right. Well, and there's lots of actually kind of interesting information. The Emperor had already ordered the second Death Star to be begun construction before Luke destroyed the first Death Star.
That makes sense, because if we're looking at the end of Revenge of the Sith and we're saying the beginning of a Death Star, and that's, what, 20 years before A New Hope?
Mm-hmm.
And Return of the Jedi is, what, 8 years after?
Yeah.
So it would, if it took them 20 years to build that first Death Star, that second Death Star is probably, what, two-thirds of the way done?
Yeah.
Always have so a they spare, right?
Always have a spare.
Always.
I would think they even, I mean, you may tell me otherwise, I would think they even started building that before we even saw the first Death Star in Star Wars.
That's not what, the only thing that I saw was that, like, before it was attacked and blown up in A New Hope, the Emperor had given the go-ahead to start building the second one.
Good.
Do it.
I know.
Did they do one?
No, not right now.
Stormtrooper? Stormtrooper?
I have to fart. Sorry.
What is that?
I don't know. It's like...
it's a fart and it's funny.
Okay. Jokes, man. Get okay. The program.
No.
It's 21st century.
You're right. And, you know, it appears several times in the movies, obviously. New Hope, you know, we talked about that. And then the scenes in Return of the Jedi with the Bothan spies, the Mon Mothma scenes. And it seems like all of the Death Stars, there was plans even for another Death Star. And they scrapped it because they decided that this exhaust port was still like the Achilles heel of it. I don't know. They could never get it right.
Can't they put like something mesh over top of it at least so that people can't find it at ease?
I don't know. It's like, this thing's like a Pinto. Like, they just can't get it right. So the Death Star, the second Death Star had corrected the exhaust port problem.
But they made
a giant hole you could fly a cargo out through.
Yeah. Instead of 2 meters wide, it was 200 meters wide. You could fly a squadron in there, fly around the core several times, then shoot it, blow it up, and still have time to get out.
Sure.
That's big.
Now, you guys know more about this than I do. This Force Unleashed, there's this whole Galen Merrick story.
Chris knows more about
it. I just played the game. I probably don't even know what the hell's going on.
This is Darth Vader's apprentice, right?
Right, yeah.
So there's some thing where, like, he had to free Princess Leia and Mon Mothma, and he fights Vader and the Emperor on the Death Star?
That'd be badass.
Okay.
It sounds pretty cool. But
I don't remember that part, but I'll take your word for it.
Is this the way, I mean, spoiler alert, I don't know anything about these games, but I guess the guy dies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was his family crest the rebel symbol?
Oh, I don't know.
I read something that
if it is, that's a bunch of bullshit.
This kind of pisses me off. I mean, the famous rebel symbol, they said as an homage to this guy, they adopted that as the rebel symbol because he freed Leia and Organa and fought the Emperor and Darth Vader.
I don't like it.
No.
No, I've never played the game, so I don't know. I can't.
What period is this supposed to take place in?
Well, when do those games take place?
I think the game takes place between New Hope and Empire. I think.
Well, then that so couldn't even be true.
No, I think the first one takes place sometime closer to A New Hope, but not.
Actually, I take it back. I think it's between trilogies. I think Tim's right.
That makes more sense.
But I think it's. Yeah. Like, if it's 20 years, I think it's somewhere in that second 10 years.
There's a lot of stuff going on in that 20 years.
So the idea that this symbol is that guy's family crest could be true.
But he was a Sith apprentice, if I'm... Oh, no, that's Dark...
Starkiller.
Dark Starkiller. Never mind.
Forget what I said. Yeah, he is Starkiller. That's his name.
Oh, that's his Sith name?
Yeah.
So they choose a symbol of a guy who was a Sith?
But he turned against them, right? Is that the deal? That's part. That's what you do in the game, right?
Well, yeah. I hate you!
What did you say?
No!
But that's what a Sith is supposed to do. He's supposed to kill his master and take his place, so...
All right, well, I don't know.
I play the games, walk around, and let's say everyone's swinging around.
I've only played it where that's you throw the...
I figured
the
you guys... Because I know you guys have played this game. I read that, and I thought that was total crap. I mean, this symbol thing.
I know that there's a book, a novelization out there for it, which I do want to read, but I have not. So, unfortunately, when I read it, I probably won't have anything to talk about. Because this episode will already be done, and we probably will not do a Death Star 2.
Well, everybody, and the Death Star is all over the place. It's always in pop culture. Everybody knows the Death Star. I think even non-Star Wars fans know what the Death Star is. From Austin Powers, like we said, and I mean all the way to Kevin Smith. The scene in Clerks about the independent contractors. that's fantastic. It's the kind of thing that just pops up a lot. One other thing that was interesting is the students at Lehigh University, which is actually close to where Chris and I live, they did a study to see how much it would cost to build the Death Star. And they took the cost of steel nowadays, and what they found out is it would take $852 quadrillion and 833 years to produce enough steel to make the Death Star.
Well, what if you had Wookiees?
Well, then it doesn't take quite as long.
You've got multiple planets producing the raw materials.
Right? I mean, the way planets are made of one source material in Star Wars Galaxy, there's probably a steel planet out there that they're using.
Yeah. It's probably like an entire
melt
planet.
Melt that planet down.
Right, exactly. You know? The steel I-beam planet of Stellion.
if they had a steel planet, they should just try to just hollow it out somehow and then...
Just add the computers and you're
done.
Right, yeah.
Get IG-8 over there.
Trash compactor, we're good.
Throw IG-8 in.
Throw the bar in. Where's that Twi'lek?
Dinoga.
Where did I put this Dinoga? Throw it away.
Well, it's funny that you bring up the Dinoga because I think we could all agree that it's really some of the coolest visuals in all of the films. And we say some good things about George Lucas, some bad things. But that Death Star trench scene is one of the greatest scenes ever. And the direction of it. Is amazing for the time period and what it's led to and how it's been copied, and even to this day when you see it, it's still exhilarating.
That trench scene is probably one of the things that sold the investors on making that movie, because Ralph McQuarrie, I think he put together 10 pieces of artwork, and one of the more dynamic pieces was, you know, the shot inside the trench. The trench with a close-up of the cockpit of an X-Wing.
Mm.
And just showing, and you know, you see another X-Wing and I think a TIE fighter behind it, and it just shows like the speed and the intensity of how that scene was going, how Lucas had intended on shooting that scene. So I think that the idea of that trench scene is what actually got the movie made.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, when I think of something that is Star Wars, that to me is Star Wars.
Well, and for me, I always, when I think of the trench scene, every time I watch the movie, I think of the original Star Wars arcade game, which, you know, that the base of the entire arcade game was the assault on the Death Star.
Yeah.
And
primitive as it was, with the vector-based graphics and everything, it was a fun game.
It was a great game. I remember the first time I ever played that game, I blew the Death Star up first quarter. I've been having a hard time blowing the Death Star up since. But you know, in the movies, you see one thing, but when you play that video game, I don't know if you plan on talking about the video game, if I'm jumping ahead.
No, go for it.
But the video game actually opens your imagination up again. You see them in the movies, but you see those towers. That's not the trench. It's before you get to the trench, but those weird towers that, you know, they're like They look like a Washington Memorial.
I say about 20 guns, some on the surface, some on the towers.
That's on your soundboard.
Do those towers cover the entire surface of the Death Star?
I don't know.
I would think so.
Or are they just sort of around the trench? Like, we're getting close to the trench, put some towers.
You can fly in anywhere and just say, I'm going to go somewhere else and try to...
It sort of makes me think, like, the entire surface is covered with these little towers. So I guess each tower would have to be manned by a little gunner dude.
Well, I'll tell you this. This is what I'll tell you about the gunners. I mean, I sat here with a calculator and added up the... I want to know how many people were on the Death Star when it blew up. The first one we're talking about. There was 52,276 gunners alone.
Wow.
There were 607,360 what they called troops. I think that just means
that's more than, that's
miscellaneous
like,
people, because stormtroopers, there was 30,984, 42,782 ship staff, and 180,000 and change pilots for a grand total of 1,179,293 souls.
That's like blowing up Minneapolis.
Does that include the mall personnel and the
Abercrombie? Yeah. What about the Twi'lek?
I thought about that too. They don't account for the Twi'lek bartender and the people hanging
the
out
park
in the,
people
at the Hard Heart Cantina.
Park
but I was thinking about this. I think we talked about this before. Is this may be like the deadliest movie of all time? Right. Star Wars. I think
body counts.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because there's more deaths in A New Hope with the destruction of Alderaan and the Death Star than any other movie. I looked it up roughly on Alderaan. They said when it was destroyed, there was 1,990,940,000 people. And if you add that to the people that I said were on the Death Star, the death toll in A New Hope is 2,119,293 people.
So that's like taking China and North America and possibly a little bit of the Horn of Africa and just obliterating it.
Why the horn?
Because I think that's a more popular.
Right, because we're like 4.5 billion people here on the planet right now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm just looking up actually. And
so it's basically half the population of Earth.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's just cut Earth in half and say you're the Death Star.
Oh, it's actually the 2011 census 7 billion.
Oh, that's right. We're 7 now.
But I mean, we're talking 1977 numbers. Earth was probably only about 2/3 of what we're at now.
There was like a couple hundred people on Earth.
Yeah, like 9 people. George Lucas. And, Richard Nixon.
Oh, here we go. Okay, 1975.
And Elvis.
This was four,
and
Elvis. And then he
four
died.
For a little while.
4 billion, right. So 4 billion in 75. So, yeah.
Well, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy came out in late 2000s, and they blew up the Earth in nets. And 2006, there was 6.5 billion. So Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has this beat.
Oh.
How many? Is there 10?
I am totally impressed at, A, Dave's sort of, like, research and figuring out these numbers, and then Matt with the quick rebuttal. Instantaneously, you know what? I found another movie to beat that.
Yeah,
hello there.
Any kids or anything? As I mentioned, like schools,
now,
school buses.
That's a great question.
So it's all service personnel.
It's all service personnel.
Families.
All it's guys. Like it's like an aircraft carrier.
All
like,
young,
all
like,
guys,
except
soldiers.
For like the malls and the bars, right? They had to have salespeople.
What,
and
there has to be people working there.
Were they
Darth malls?
Well, that's the whole Kevin Smith thing. Like, that's why that thing is genius, because of the second Death Star and, you know, the independent contractors and, right. And the, you know, like, you know, how hard it is to install a toilet main? You know, like, that whole thing is genius. And that's why this kind of stuff, it's fun to do. I had fun adding it up because it's stupid.
But just like, there's 2 billion, did you say, or something?
2 billion, 1 million and change.
And they all, like, punch out, go home.
Where they
like,
get, no,
2 billion.
Someone's
like
always on
like
active duty.
It's like they're on like a submarine.
Months?
They're like you're on duty for 8 hours, and then you go.
But that's a lot of people.
And you're off
like
duty.
Other planets
you're
to come duty. Here yeah. Over all the years, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, actually, when you start to analyze the logistics of a lot of Star Wars, obviously it starts to fall down, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about Coruscant, which is a planet that's all one big city,
right?
I saw an I don't remember where it is, but I saw an analysis of this. It's like. This cannot exist, right? Because the amount of resource it takes to feed and power a city the size of a planet takes, you know, another 18 or 19 planets of
right.
Resources or whatever, right?
Don't all these guys get horny?
Dave just laid out this eloquent statement, and you come back.
Maybe
with girls? Anywhere?
Know, there's that one girl.
The one girl.
Runs the bar.
Maybe they... Maybe they bring... Maybe they breed these clones as like eunuchs or something. As a eunuch clone.
I like so that. Actually,
that's Il Castrati.
That's my question. At the time of A New Hope, are the stormtroopers still clone troopers?
We've had that argument bunch of times because not all of them are. Because even when we did this stormtrooper episode, Davin Felth was a human. Like, he was like a recruit. Like, he was like a gung-ho recruit.
Luke talks about going to the academy, and I'm always assuming they meant like the academy to train Imperial soldiers,
whatever. And at the show this weekend, there was somebody mentioned the West End games. I think Leland mentioned it.
Yeah,
the West End games, which I hadn't played, the role playing game back in the late '80s, early '90s, or whatever. And I remember they used to have these like interesting fake sort of ads in the book. Like, oh, here's an ad for the R2 unit, and here's an ad for whatever. And there was a 2-page spread ad for, you know, your new life as an Imperial soldier, you know, go up the ranks quickly as a whatever. And it was like, be a stormtrooper.
Like a recruit poster.
So it was a recruit poster for the Imperial Navy, Army, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I feel like at least at that time, the canon was that the stormtroopers were recruits.
Yeah.
They were people. They
recruited or conscripted, humans,
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to do all this stuff. I mean,
get the numbers down.
Yeah. And like Matt said, he mentioned Dianoga. It, aside from the visuals, it allowed for some really cool characters that I'm sure we'll get to eventually, like the Imperial Gunner and the Death Star droid and the Dianoga and the Mouse droid, you know, all these stuff you associate it with the Death Star. So I'm really glad Tim decided to do this because it's real cool stuff. Other than that, I was...
Have you timed how long the Death Star is on screen?
No, I did not time how long
I would think, I would honestly think that of any character, the Death Star is on screen more than anything else, because when you're inside it, whether you're looking at Luke or Han, the Death Star is around you.
Yeah.
You're looking at its goods.
The whole last quarter of the first movie,
It's all...
Yeah.
It's funny, you said that I would have never thought to count the interior as the interior, being on screen, only those external screens, so choose, you're right, that's over 3/4 of the movie, probably.
Yeah. And we gotta talk about toys, because... I was a very spoiled child. I had a lot of toys. I had a lot of the Kenner line. But the one thing I did not have was that vintage Death Star with the trash compactor and the Dianoga, the green Dianoga with wings.
It was the 4-story thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a section of the Death Star.
Yeah.
But it was like all the key scenes.
Absolutely.
You're right. All above each other.
That may be one of the, to me, the most elusive toys, but one of the greatest toys they ever made, because it was so complex. And I remember even the commercial they had. I was when I would see these commercials and the kids would play with the stuff wrong, I would get pissed off. And I've heard Kevin Smith tell this story too. I felt this way. I'm not like stealing his story, but I remember the commercial. The kid has Darth Vader in the Death Star gunner chair. And I remember,
you say, get him out of
there. He's not in. He's out in his TIE fighter. There's a, you know, put...
Or send a boy to do a man's job.
Exactly. He's got more important fish to fry.
Pew, pew.
So, one of the most coveted that I've ever seen. There was also this, I saw pictures of it in researching. There's another company, it was called Palatoy, I guess. And they were a toy company for Canada, Australia, the UK. And they had one of those sets where it was like a plastic base and a cardboard back.
Oh, jeez.
And that was it?
Yeah. I mean, real flimsy, but I'm sure worth thousands if you have one.
That that first one, the Kenner one, is very hard to find. I mean, we were just there at the convention, and I don't know if I even saw...
I saw a few, but they were in some really banged-up boxes.
Yeah, I That's probably one of the rarest of those early accessories. Definitely.
One of my favorite Lego toys, which I don't have, cost I think like $400, is that Lego Death Star.
Oh yeah.
Sucker has it like 20 some figures, I think, and it's just enormous.
There was a Micro Machines Death Star that came out in the late '80s or late '90s that I always thought was really neat. I know they did little die-cast ones back in the late 70s, but they were like parts of the Death Star and pieces. But like this Micro Machines one actually came, and it was the Death Star, and it like folded open, and there were all sorts of different little compartments for it. I never had it, but it was always one of those things I would look at and be like, that's actually really cool. If they could make a scale model one, I don't think they've made anything like that's supposed to be the entire Death Star in recent years for people with their action figures.
Now, that Lego thing is about as close as I've seen. And yeah. Chris is right. It's like $400.
That's huge. And it has, like the old Death Star, four levels, every scene. This has every scene and then some. Yeah. It has the extra figures you can do every scene.
And it's got the park. Full circular park.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it swivels on a little thing.
I know Quint has the sort of miniaturized Lego Death Star. It's probably about, 12 inches in diameter.
Right.
It doesn't have all the stuff that the big one does.
Yeah.
You said it took that was 8 hours of work to put that together.
I love it.
Well, yeah, tons of stuff. I'm sure I'm leaving stuff out, but it was a lot of fun to research. So thank you, Tim, for coming up with this idea. And as far as that goes, that's all I got.
I do have one little thing to add.
Obviously,
it's not
a Death Star at Celebration. He's on our posters.
It's not out yet, but over the weekend at Star Wars Celebration, they showed the sneak previews for the Star Wars Detours, the comedy series that's coming out. And during this time period, the time period that this is set in is when they're building the first Death Star. And since the Death Star is supposed to be a secret, they don't want anybody to know that it's a weapon. So they're advertising it as a mall. So when you...
Wait. What kind of mall?
The Doth Mall. So when you said that they had malls and stuff on there, it made me think of that the Detours episodes coming out where the Death Star is supposed to be a shopping mall as the rest of the galaxy is concerned.
Well, maybe Mayma Ruthless will be on there.
You can only
hope.
Did she die? No, did she die?
One can only
was she there when it blew up?
I don't know. I'll look for that while Matt does his website. That's a good question. I will find out.
Well, the only question I have that hasn't been answered is why are those two guys stationed on a platform with no guardrail right next to the Death Star laser?
That's a good question. It's a little dangerous.
Yeah, and what do they do?
And they can't see on his mask.
Like maybe there's padding at the bottom of that shaft. Like if they fall, it's like pillow.
It is a shaft.
Did you see that guy? There was a couple of guys dressed up as Death Star gunners at the thing at the con. That whole bottom thing goes up pretty high, and he was walking along. I didn't know how he was seeing.
Actually, you know what? While Dave's still looking this up, and you mentioned the Death Star Gunner, there was the bootleg figures, the Uze, Star Wars Uze, and the Death Star Gunner is one of the funniest packaging because it's a picture of the action figure.
So
he looks like he's supposed to be on a control planner, but it's just a television remote control.
That was a calculator.
It was a calculator. Yeah, they wanted to make it look high tech, so they took an action figure, put it in front of a calculator, and took a nice cropped picture.
I'm looking at the Kenner Death Star toy, which they are on eBay, just ridiculously expensive. But I forgot it had that little orange trash compactor with the hand crank that you twisted, so you popped them out the side.
That foam, I'm sure if they still exist, those foam things have disintegrated into dust.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, Tim, you ready?
Yeah.
This is stupid.
She escaped.
She, like every other character that we've done recently, saw that the ways of the Empire were not for her and turned on them and defected as the Death Star was under attack.
So she's like, I'm getting out of here.
She's getting out of there.
This sucks.
So her and a bunch of guys are defecting from the Death Star. They hop in ships. And take off, and Darth Vader actually engages the ships of the defectors to try and shoot them down, but has to leave because he has to go after Luke.
Bullshit. is the only true believer left, Tarkin? Is he the only one left with principles go down with the ship?
Sure.
God damn it.
He's got the other guy. Who is the guy that wants to know if he wants his ship ready? We talked about that. We talked about that. We talked about him on the Tarkin.
Okay, a moment of triumph.
It may be who's the guy that Vader chokes? That's giving him earlier. Is it Mahdi that says it to him?
Yeah, I don't think
I don't
it's
think
Mahdi.
The same guy.
It's a different guy.
Mahdi.
Yeah, it's just like Tarkin's aide.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Ricky.
Ricky. Well, at least her backstory didn't include her knowing Han Solo and or being Force sensitive.
You know, I didn't read it too close.
I'm sure one of them is in there. Bo Scheck. sure.
No, I don't see any names that I recognize. There's a whole lot of nonsense going on here.
She's hot, though.
Well, that is true.
Matt, you got a website about this big round moon? Oh, wait.
That's no moon.
That's no moon.
There you go.
Okay. I have a website, and in honor of you being in my house to record this, I directed it towards another like of yours. If you go to How Stuff Works in their entertainment section, they have battling blockbusters, and they pit two things against each other, and who'd win in a fight. And in this particular article, it's the Death Star versus Superman.
I would say Superman, unless there is kryptonite on the Death Star.
Well, I'll tell you that they write out, you know, stuff like that and decide a winner. I won't tell you who. I'll let you. Okay. I'll let everyone read it. But that's my site, How Stuff Works: The Death Star versus Superman.
Come on, Clark.
Hello again, everyone. Matt here. This is the point of the recording where we lost Tim and Dave's recorder. So we pumped up the other recordings to get as much of them in this portion as we could. Now, with that, there's a lot of background noise and quite a bit of room echo. Again, apologies for that. And if you'd like to fast forward to the Celebration 6 recap, which is a better recording quality, that's at about the 1 hour and 2 minute, 3 minute mark of this. Again, sorry for this issue, and we will be back to our regular recording style in the next episode.
Well, Dave?
Yes, Chris?
I think it's time.
It is time for Imperial Pursuit.
Suit.
Okay. A quick glance at the scores finds Chris in last.
Shocking. Two?
Two. Okay. Yeah, how'd you remember that?
That's all up here.
Okay. Tim in third.
Seven?
With 70.
Wow.
I got the big brain. You remember how many Matt has in second place?
I know he's high. I want to say 12.
That's right.
Yeah.
12? Is that a number?
You just make a sound that could be any number. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget. I forget. 15. Do 15?
11 and 12.
That's awesome.
I knew you were winning. I knew Matt was up there too.
Holy crap.
I like it too.
If you could only remember Star Wars this well.
That's true. All right. Chris,
yes.
Your category is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Hello there.
Hello there. Hello there. Oh, you know, wrong one.
Hello there. We have soundboard bites from a couple of people.
That's true.
That could be from a lot of movies there.
I'm too old for this.
No, we never got to do that.
Yeah, that was a classic. We will. Two? I hate going into negatives again. I hate it. But guess what? Two.
Betting two?
Yeah.
On his Obi-Wan.
Now that didn't have a head in a long time.
Alright. You ready?
A long time, yes.
In Attack of the Clones, Obi-Wan told Anakin in an elevator that he hasn't seen Anakin this tense since they fell into a nest of what?
Yeah.
Shit.
Nest of shit. Yellow jackets.
Nerf herders.
What? I remember seeing, but I just forget what they fell into. It's some kind of Star Wars animal.
Alright, Star Wars animal. Don't guess it.
A nest of pretty bluebirds, and your hair looks so cute that day.
Ooh. Lovely. Banthas.
That's a huge nest.
That's
but
right.
I guess you would be a tense if you fell into that.
Things, man. Ooh. I have no idea. Banthas.
The answer is Gundarks.
Oh, Gundarks. Correct.
I say that, but I'll probably get the next one wrong.
So, Chris, back.
Not negative, though. That was my omission.
Okay. Well, Tim?
Yes?
Randomly selecting...
Oh, wait. Did I have a phone line?
No.
It was a little late.
You used your phone, friend.
That's right.
Mark Newell.
You're right.
The coolest guy from Jedi News.
And Tim Menem.
Tim Menem.
David Frisbee.
Did he get in his sack?
David Frisbee.
Alright, your randomly selected category, Tim, is the Jedi Order.
No.
Oh, come on now.
I'm going to say three.
3 points, Jedi. Your question is, in A New Hope, what did Obi-Wan call Luke's first positive experiences with the Force?
Around him.
Really?
You've taken... this is, you're probably going to want exact quotes. I can paraphrase. you've taken your first steps into a larger world.
So that's your final answer?
Yes.
This is what it says. Quote, first steps into a larger world.
Man.
You are a dwarf, man.
Well done.
Tim, that was nice. You're in double digits.
Double digits, buddy.
All of a sudden, he's Jake from Alabama.
Yeah. Alabama!
Oh, is that how you wanted him to say it, Chris?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't...
Yeah, like Tom Hanks. I remember you said that.
Real loud. The Greenbow, Alabama.
Yeah. I don't think Jake understood that one there, but that's okay, Jake.
I've never listened to Force Camp. I never bought that album.
All right, Matt.
Yes.
You have the interesting offer here to have your own surrogate.
Yes.
As I've had one, and Chris has had one. Tim doesn't need one. He thinks he does. Now, you have the opportunity to have our very own Smitty as your surrogate, if you choose.
I will. I have every faith in him, and he's also one of the reasons I have any kind of resurgence in Star Wars. It was catching up on it with him years later. He had the videotapes. I did not. So if I hadn't watched Empire Strikes Back at his house, 10 years after it was out, I may not be doing this podcast right now.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Smitty.
All right. I hope I can... like Matt, I don't know a whole lot about the prequels, so we'll see how this goes.
Sign your points.
Well, I'll give you the category first, and then you can do what you wish with Matt's points, of which there are 12. You bet 0 to 5. The category is the Millennium Falcon.
Oh.
5.
All right.
That's 6.
I'll go 5. I think we can do this.
Here's the question. In A New Hope, according to a stormtrooper on the Death Star, what had been jettisoned on the Millennium Falcon?
That's interesting. There's
schematic.
Jettisoned, I believe. Oh, geez, because they talk about the escape pods being gone, but I don't know if they talk about. I guess it's the escape because I don't know if they say anything about the logs, right? They say something about the escape pods and something about the logs. I'm gonna go. Right.
No, I think, I agree with the escape pods. The logs threw me for a second, but I think the logs...
I think the logs, they erased the logs.
Yeah, but I think that, exactly. I think they... I don't even think that was in the movie. I think that was in the novelization and the radio drama. I think they said something about making something up in the logs about why they got rid of the escape pods or something.
So go with the escape pods?
I think so,
go with the escape pods.
Final answer, escape pods.
Yeah.
Yes.
Answer is several. Pods. Nicely done.
There we go.
Right.
I think they do actually say in the movie, I think they say that the logs say they abandoned ship.
Oh, okay. Then
Right.
System.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Very cool.
Do you want me to read one?
I'll read one, yeah.
I am? What?
How do you
get? Oh.
I just flick to a page.
And then file the answer in.
Category.
Okay. All right. So I just go to...
The back to the answers. The answer gets a big closer to the answers.
And the things that are highlighted are ones that you've already asked.
No. Okay. Something that I probably
do. All right. Well, your questions have to do with Princess Leia.
Ooh.
I got a bit. I'm gonna bet two.
Two?
To keep up and tie that lead still.
This is close.
All right.
Minus me.
How old was Carrie Fisher during the principal shooting?
Really?
Wow. That's a question. How old?
Oh.
You should know this, Dave. All you gotta do is remember she had on an overall and how perky she was and do the math.
You just did math. Yeah, just did math for the death toll of A New Hope. You should be able to figure out. All
right, so for A New Hope, how old was she?
Yeah.
She's pretty young. I don't know. I wish I knew how she was now. I'd say do the math. I'm gonna just give you a nice round number of 20.
20. You're close. She's 19.
Man, you're
really?
Yeah.
She's that young, huh? 19,
yeah. I am
19 years old. All right. Well, 19. That means Matt's in the lead.
That's right.
Thanks to Smitty. On Matt.
Oh, he would have got that himself, I think.
And I'm down to 13.
13.
And Tim with 10, and Chris with
10. So, am I playing at all?
We've had quite a shift here, but nicely done, guys. Well, nicely done, Smitty and Tim.
I have to get a song with you.
Smitty and Tim. All right.
Well, we'd like to thank you for listening to this episode where we're all together about the Death Star.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird. I miss
it. It's different. Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool, but it's weird.
Cool, but weird. And
let's never do this again.
In October, because we're taking off the month of September to take a break from the celebration madness.
We might have something special out there during the month, but our regular episodes are on hiatus until sometime in early October. Please go back listen to some of our previous episodes. One of my favorites is the holiday special and the Nexu.
Yeah, I know.
it's a new and recent favorite. Go back and listen to Nexu one.
Every time you listen to it, you'll find something new you missed before. That's right.
So Matt was wearing one of those shirts the other night.
I was.
What did they cash money for? The Save the Tree Octopus t-shirt, I think.
It was.
I forgot. I actually forgot I was wearing it until Dave looks at me and starts laughing. Go, what are you wearing? Like, what are you talking about? Oh yeah, that's right.
I don't know if it was before or after that, but I was sitting there and looked at him like, holy fuck.
It was an awesome shirt.
It was.
Well, since we're recommending past episodes, what are some episodes you guys want?
One of our classes, Porkins.
Porkins.
Hell yeah.
I think the Moff Krim one is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't heard the Moff Krim one,
what was
best
with,
episode ever.
With Yoda and Yaddle.
Oh, yeah.
Yaddle.
The Yaddle episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Laura Hood. Yeah, Laura Hood.
Episode, yeah. So, all good episodes. All good episodes. So
there's some bad ones.
There's a few. All the episodes.
Chancellor's great.
Skip Evan Peel.
Yeah, do not do anything.
Yeah, Chancellor Valorum. That's a good one.
We did. It was bad.
Really? Yeah, no, I remember that.
You weren't there, dude.
I wish I wasn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, so thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.
Today we are talking about Star Wars Celebration 6, our big event on August 24th.
Yep.
All right. I don't know what day it is. Been here too long. We had a blast. To my right is a NeoZaz member. I call him Smitty.
Smitty.
Yes, this is my daughter. To my far right is Matt.
Hello.
Did you see that? Yeah.
I saw your
microphone
go limp.
To my left is Tim, and to his left is Dave.
Yes. And?
Oh, we have a live studio audience of some nice females.
That's some audience.
Yeah, some audience.
Say, that's not near the reaction we got from our audience at Celebration.
No. Tim, take it away. Tell us how it was. You were there.
Oh, we had a great time. On Friday we had our big event. I honestly didn't think we were going to have that many people there. I was thinking if we had 30 people there, it would be a huge success. And we get there, and the panel that's going before us has a pretty full crowd. And there was a small line of about 8 people out there. And I wasn't sure if they were waiting to get into the current panel or if they were waiting for us. I actually went over and asked them, and I said, "Are you guys coming to Star Wars Face Off?" And they're all excited to come see our show. So who was number one in line?
It had to have been our biggest fan.
Who's that?
I forget his name.
No, you don't.
No.
He's your new texting buddy.
He is. I have his cell phone number. His name is Jake.
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 Also known as Jake the Sith on, I think, Twitter.
Is he?
Yep.
Yeah.
And YouTube.
And YouTube.
I don't twit.
Check out Jake on YouTube. What is it?
Yeah, on YouTube. Yeah, he said some nice things about us on his YouTube channel.
He was a hell of a nice guy. I mean, he was right in front. No, I think, didn't Matt see him playing Solitaire in line?
I think he was. I think I saw him. Well, he had cards out, and I don't know any other card game you play in front of you other than Solitaire, so that's, I'm guessing it's Solitaire. I guess you could play Free Cell, but I don't know how to play Free Cell.
He was in the front row, way up front, on the last left seat, right in the corner. Didn't miss anything.
Yeah, Matt said he was in there before we were.
He was.
Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Jake.
But yeah, I seriously thought we were only going to have like 35, 40 people in there, and we were setting up, and people were slow to arrive, and then all of a sudden we just sort of turned around, paid attention to what we were working on, then looked up, and the place was full.
Yeah.
It was really nice. It was like 300, 400 people, we think, and we turned, Tim's right, we turned over and did some stuff, turned around, and it was like, boom, packed.
Yeah, all of a sudden people just started arriving, and we were having a good time playing. You know, we had a little soundboard, and as we were setting up, we kept playing little sounds every minute or so just to make people chuckle.
But I do want to say how great of a job Smitty and another guy named Quint did with the hooking up the wiring technical stuff. That's what I call it. And my way of helping was, you know what? Not helping.
You
stay out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And it helped, right, dude?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for doing that. That was excellent.
It was nothing, literally.
And you guys, not you, I was talking to Smitty.
I apologize.
And you guys said that the people there were really helpful and cool, so.
Well, do you remember their names, Matt? The
Kathy and Diane are the two women in charge of that room, and they let us in the day early, Wednesday, to see the room and to talk to the company that was setting up the sounds. I had a couple specific questions that they had the answers to, and they actually had some questions for me that made me think of some things I didn't think of, which really, when we were done with that conversation, made what we had to bring in and set up far simpler than what we planned to, so... thanks to them letting us do that. And then Diane specifically followed up with us right as the convention started, then at the day of, and then even the evening after we heard from her. So she was, both of them were tremendously helpful.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And the event went off pretty much without a hitch. We had a lot of our regular listeners in there. We had Stuart. Stuart was in there. We saw him sitting there about midway through the room.
Stuart.
A few other people, and I can't remember their names. There was a family from Wisconsin.
Who's that guy who friended me?
Jamie.
Jamie.
Yes.
Jamie from Canada.
Yep. Yes. He was there. Yeah, a lot of our regular listeners, a lot of people who post on our Facebook page were there. So it's really nice to meet a lot of those guys in person.
Yeah, there's a gentleman named Ricky that I talked to. I forget where he's from. I know he told me, but yeah. it's been a long weekend.
If you talk to us and we've forgotten your name, we do apologize. I didn't write everybody's names down. So there's a guy earlier in the week or earlier in the day named Kevin that I met out there on the floor. I don't know if he came to the show or not, but we met a lot of people who do listen to our show there. So it was really nice to hear hear from people face to face about how much they enjoy the program that we put on.
Yeah, the guys from Jets Toy Hut were there.
Yeah. Yes. Jets.
Yeah. Nice kill, buddy.
Yeah, that was great. It was great that that one of our great sponsors actually came to our show and sat down and participated. He looked like he had a great time, just like everybody else that was there in the show.
Yep. And we should thank our other panelist who was on there with us.
Who's that?
Leland Chi.
We had the keeper of the Holocron, an official Lucasfilm employee, sitting in with us. He was sitting in between me and Dave, giving us some facts about all our obscure characters that were facing off at that competition.
Yeah, and if you're a member of our Facebook page, and we haven't done the video yet, it's going to be a little bit till we get that together. But I did put a photo album up on our Facebook page, and he is he's in the middle of the table. And I think every time a picture is snapped of him, he's in the middle of just like almost a belly laugh. He looked like he really had a good time.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. We don't want to give away who won.
Exactly.
The,
yes. Those pictures I didn't put in the album.
Yeah, we don't want to give away who won it because we're eventually gonna, I think, post the entire face off, and down the road we'll have a video of the entire event. That's we nice and fully edit all nice HD equipment provided by Dave Smith here, who is a film professional.
Yeah, he got some great shots. He set up two cameras. We got three different camera angles, so everything was covered. And my sister Karen took his. He had an additional camera that wasn't being used. It's also a still camera, so she's the one who managed to provide those pictures for us. So,
thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen. And thank you, Christy, for helping organize everything. And and Kelly and our children.
Yeah, that's
where
yes. Oh my God, your kids were great.
I almost forgot. Yeah, that was I gave that as quick as I could shout out to them for thanking them at the show, because as soon as Chris said thanks for coming, everyone just got up and got out.
He didn't mean it that way.
I know.
I was just wanting to end this, you know, thank you for coming, and then here's some stuff for you. Blah, blah, blah.
As soon as you said there's something free for you in the back of the room,
they
everyone
were gone.
Went,
yep,
Jake.
No, yeah, and yeah, we handed out a lot of great stuff. So check eBay. Maybe you'll see some of these Star Wars in character. Yeah, you never know. Maybe you'll see a Star Wars in character frisbee or a Jango Fett CD up on eBay going for $600,000.
Being sold mine. By user T Morrison. What's that all about?
yeah, I talked with Tim Morrison, who plays Jango Fett in the films, and I got him a copy of the CD. So
tell us who else. Well, there's superstars you gave our CD bundle of.
Oh yeah,
to.
I mean, just walking around the floor, it's a who's who of the Star Wars fan community and some professionals. Yeah, I ran into a bunch of people and I got some Star Wars in character swag in their hands. Daniel Logan is in now possession of one of our cool frisbees. So
and
he,
I want to hear the one that's going to be tossing it on Skywalker Ranch.
I ran into little teeny tiny Zet Jukasa.
Not no more.
No, my God. Yeah, I ran into Jet Lucas, George Lucas's very own son, out there, and he was talking with David Acord and Matt Wood, and I kind of, you know, worked my way into their conversation, and he was I asked him to sign my poster because he's a very elusive
and he did.
Guy. He did. He signed my
Fucker.
Poster. But yeah,
not him, you Tim.
We traded
it.
Actually, as he was signing my poster, Daniel Logan walks by and he was like, "That's $50." That's my Daniel Logan.
Or I'll tell your dad.
I'll tell your dad. Yeah, no, Daniel. But we worked out a deal where I exchanged him a Star Wars in character participation pack. In exchange for a signature,
that's actually worth much more than $50.
Yeah, well, yeah. A bunch of other people got them. I know David Acord got one, so hopefully he tunes in, listens to the show.
Bateman,
Paul Bateman. Dreams of Vision Press and RalphMacquarie.com. He didn't get a packet. His packet actually got handed to James Burns from the Jedi News. So James Burns got the packet that I was originally going to give to Paul Bateman, but that's okay.
And Mark Newbold.
Our former guest panelist Mark Newbold. We ran into him on the floor, and I got him a packet.
And Kyle Newman.
Kyle Newman, yes, Kyle Newman has a packet. Yeah,
so many.
Yeah, that guy. So many people got frisbees and packets. So I was it was kind of nice to hand those out and. And some of the people have heard of our show. Some of them do not. So hopefully the ones that have not heard our show take a listen to the CDs that were in there and hopefully become regular listeners maybe.
Yeah. Maybe Jet will post a photo of him and his dad tossing around the Pittsburgh yard.
Yeah. Somebody ask, send Daniel Logan a Twitter or something, seeing if he'll post a picture of himself holding his Star Wars in character frisbee. Yeah, a little free advertisement there for us, maybe.
Maybe we'll see a video of George laughing so hard at the podcast milk comes out of his nose.
Yeah.
Should we explain our week, Tim? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, Chris and I...
Can me, Dave, and Dave explain our day first?
Oh, yeah. Sure, okay.
We went to the convention... We set up the show. We did the show. We tore down and we went home. Okay. You guys fill in the rest.
Our turn.
You got 4 days to fill in. Go for it.
Chris and I are troopers. We were there from opening to beyond. Well, before opening to beyond closing every night. We went to all the big panels. We saw Ian McDiarmid.
Which was actually pretty cool.
Really good panel.
We saw Mark Hamill's panel.
Mark Hamill, he puts on a great show. So if you guys are ever have an opportunity to go see a Q&A with Mark Hamill, whether it's a Star Wars Q&A or otherwise, he's a really great speaker and an entertainer.
James Arnold Taylor,
Master of Ceremonies on the main stage.
I always want to call him Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Yeah. And I do it once in a while.
No, we went to his one-man show.
Oh, amazing.
And, you know, you laugh, you cry. It was a really great show. A lot of good stuff there.
Carrie Fisher.
So
the Dr. Jones panel, Indiana Jones panel.
You went to that. There's a new DVD coming out that I think Paul Bateman and Kyle Newman co-produced about. It's like a Ralph McQuarrie retrospective, short documentary, about 30 minutes long, 30 to 40 minutes long. Real interesting. You hear from a lot of different artists and people who work in the Star Wars art community talking about Ralph, and that was a really neat thing to see.
We saw a girl's ass painted green.
And red.
Not the same ass. These are all different asses.
And blue.
Yeah, the one was dressed up as a Ula with her ass painted all green.
Mm-hmm.
She was wearing a thong, which I looked for a little bit.
So it was a good time. We saw all sorts of great stuff, met a lot of great Star Wars actors that we had never met before. And
so Mark Hamill and Biggs reunited.
Yeah, actually, on the floor, I was witness to Luke and Biggs reuniting and Luke and Dak reuniting. I don't know if that's for the first time they've met since, but still.
It's what me and Tim have been doing all these years now, just going to these celebrations and just soaking it in and standing and waiting in line, sitting down. Exhausted.
Yeah, but you got to drag your kids to this one.
Again. Yeah, I always do. You know why? Because you get more free stuff when you have kids.
You do.
You bring the kids with.
Chris has a pretty good collection of Star Tots.
I think 15 out of the 20.
Star Tots, which if you don't know what the Star Tots are, they have these panels there, collector's panels, and each panel has a different theme, like collecting vintage Star Wars figures. One of them was collecting Nordic Star Wars toys. I didn't know that the Nords had...
The Nords?
I didn't know that the Nords
that the little guy that made your pizza cold?
Dominant Pizza, yeah. Avoid the Nord.
I didn't know that they had their own like special like Star Wars collecting community. But they had a whole panel on that. And if you went, they would give you this little Star Tot, which is like a little coin.
Coin type material.
People are going nuts for these things.
They're going. We went back on the last day, Sunday, around 4:20 and left there around 6:45. Just from trying to get them all in line, going in line, back and forth.
Yeah.
And it was really fucking exhausting.
What's the weirdest thing you saw?
You I was walking around there.
Me walking around there?
Because you don't go to this kind of thing.
We did. I don't think me, Quint, and Dave were there for an hour. We weren't there for an hour. However long it takes you to walk into the exhibition hall and get to the autograph thing. We run into Dave and Jack, and Dave walks up. What do you do here? Well, you're doing it right now. Stop and talk to your friends.
You go sit in panels and listen to stuff and try to get autographs from free. I got Kyle Newman for free walking around. Paul Bateman, I got.
Yeah, Kyle Newman has a voice in the upcoming Clone Wars season, I think, and it's rumored that he's Ben Quargeneros, but I don't think that's going to happen.
And they showed you the episode 2 and 3. Scenes in 3D announced when they were going to be released in theaters.
Yeah, those are the You guys have heard me talk about episode two. I'm not a fan, but the 3D looked great on both of those. I know some people. What do you call it when it's the 3D is done post?
Yeah, post production 3D.
Well, like is it like if it wasn't designed for 3D, like where they
right.
Yeah,
it's either done in camera or in post.
Yeah. And for something that was not designed to be in 3D, I thought that the episodes two and three footage they showed looked fantastic.
What scene from two did they show?
Clips, like a different piece.
Oh, okay.
They showed
like a montage.
Yeah. Thing?
Okay.
Yeah, for two they showed the Amidala ship coming in through the clouds. Which looked really good.
Coming into the clouds.
At the beginning. And
the ship shaking off into space.
The chick blowing up.
And the
lightsaber
the
turning off and on.
No, they showed some of the 3D. Yeah, all the 3D. They showed the chase through Coruscant, which looked really good. And Anakin jumping out of the ship.
I think they're out in September, October in
2013.
Yeah.
They show Mav Krim on Geonosis?
Not yet.
No.
Bindle.
His lightsaber going on and going right off.
Yep.
So all sorts of neat things. They announced when the next celebration
yes,
is.
Yes, they did.
For our European listeners, it's going to be in Germany next.
Nine!
Next, I think July. July 12th.
I think it's June, I think.
Is it June?
I think it's June.
It's either late June or July of 2013. So our European listeners will have to pay our way there if they want to see us do the obscure character face off on Deutsch.
We all have to learn German.
Auf Deutsch.
Auf Deutsch.
Auf Deutsch.
Now it's over. Now we're doing this little recording Sunday night.
Chris and I have the post-convention melancholy. Yeah.
July 26th to the 28th. So it's only 3 days, huh?
Yeah. The Germans, they go all day.
They engineer it more efficiently.
Yes. Shorter lines.
You guys said you actually get physically sad when this is over.
Yeah. It's like a part of us has died.
It was sad. We were walking out and there was a scale model of the Rancor and it was and we walked by it I don't know how many times during the course of the weekend and looked down there and it was headless.
I never got my photo in it either.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the last photo you posted on Facebook was like the head on the ground.
Rancor, that was our last image.
Oh, we didn't say what the big news was, the big surprise guest star.
Who's that?
Mr. Lucas was there.
Oh, yeah. I went to...
he had to drive his kid there.
Dad!
No,
shotgun.
I went... Yeah, I know. I'd heard that he had shown up in a Clone Wars panel earlier, like the first Clone Wars panel that on Saturday, but I went to the Detours, the Seth Green and Matt Senrick thing for the new animated comedy series, Detours, and George came out and... this was the loosest I'd ever seen GL. He'd always been kind of very stiff, but he actually...
What was that, Tim?
Stiff.
Okay.
And didn't he sign the knee of that AT-AT?
That was last...
Yeah, he did that last time.
He signed Jabba's arm.
Yeah.
He signed Jabba's arm this time, one of those big Jabba models.
Uh-huh.
Or his elbow, if he has an elbow.
The one... was it the one in the... in that head that set up the cantina?
I think it was that one, because the other one didn't have it on
there's
there.
Two. There was one that they, every day they hoard up all the slave Leias and throw them all over
nothing
the sweaty...
Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. Throw them all over the sweaty Jabba. And then there's another Jabba that
that's clean.
Someone else had built.
Sweat free.
And I think he signed the other Jabba.
I heard Jabba. He was high as a kite. That's why I was so happy.
But there's a lot of slave Leias that looked perfect in that outfit.
Yeah, and then there was a few.
Some that didn't.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much.
And I still looked either way. If there was skin, I'm in.
If there's skin, I'm in?
That's what I said.
D&D, it works for me.
Oh, and there was a... Matt's favorite character
the name thing.
Was in...
A bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
They actually. I was in. I heard that we saw them around in the area, but there was a panel going on, and someone told me that just in the middle of the panel, 5 to 10 Wilro hoods ran through the panel, top speed, holding their ice cream maker.
I would have been so happy if that
happened.
See,
you should have went nonstop and waited.
I would have ran after them. I had that wireless mic. Would have heard. That would have been awesome. I'm outside the room, going, "Wait, let me join in. I want to
join you."
I did see them on the floor, too. I think we were waiting to talk with Stephen Stan. Stephen Stan was doing an interview, and we were waiting to talk with him and his management. And I think I saw those five or six Little Red Hoods just sort of hanging around there holding their ice cream.
I didn't see Stephen Stan. I saw Christopher Walken.
So, yeah, when we were out doing the show, what do you call it, the expo floor or whatever, they came in, and it was like there had to be 15 of them.
And you know what? They were all white, weren't they?
That's what I there wasn't a black guy among them.
No, there was a couple ladies.
There's a couple of ladies.
Because they would run around with their ice cream machines, and then they would spot someone who's trying to take a picture of somebody, and they would photobomb it. They would all just jump in the picture, get the picture taken, and then
run off.
And then they would run off because like other people would come up and be like, "Oh my God, there's a bunch of Little Red Hoods," and be like, no more pictures, no more pictures," and they would run off.
That's funny.
And yelling ice cream. They were. It was funny.
That's funny.
That's better than those guys at the Chiller Theater Convention in New Jersey that dress up like Ghostbusters. And just every it seems like every 15 minutes, you see them running through holding their little
stinky
ghost trap.
Oh, speaking of Ghostbusters, did you see the Ghostbuster
Admiral Akbar? Yeah,
I didn't see him. I didn't see him.
Somebody with the Ghostbuster outfit on. I said Akbar on the chest, and then they had an Akbar mask on.
Yeah. I saw that.
speaking of Akbar, you know, I noticed something. There's this like shift in fan interest, I guess, in certain actors that play certain characters. We were talking about this earlier, Chris and I, on the ride. Like it used to be, like you'd go and some of the characters would have super long lines and others would have short lines, and this is how it's always been. But you would go. I remember, like, Ayla Secura was a character, Amy Allen. You would go to the previous celebration, her line would be 6 miles long. You would be standing in line for an hour to get her autograph. And then Tim Rose, who was the puppeteer for Admiral Akbar, would have, like, two people in his line. And this time around, it's like Admiral Akbar had this line that was just ridiculously long. Like, you would be standing in that line for at least an hour, no matter when you went. And also the same thing with Kit, they got Jesse Jensen or Zach Jensen, the guy who played Kit Fisto. So it's kind of interesting to see this shift in character popularity among the fans that went to this convention. I think the Admiral Akbar had a lot to do with the Robot Chicken people.
Probably. We met Ian McDiarmid, the Emperor, who was totally nice. Really nice guy. Shook my son's hand. Shocked him a little bit.
A lot nicer than the last time we met him about 6 years ago in New York.
Yes.
Yeah, much nicer this time around.
You know why he was nicer?
Because we paid him
$125.
Right, yeah.
I've been nicer too.
If we had $125 in our hands 6 years ago, he might have been a little nicer to us.
Yeah, I
would have threw it on the ground and said, pick it up.
All
I had was a ticket. It doesn't have the same effect if I throw that down. Pick it up.
What else?
There has to be something that you guys saw that you were just like, scratching your heads at. Like,
Carrie Fisher gave the whole crowd the finger.
She did.
She did.
Why did she do that?
She's mentally
unstable. I don't think she knows why she did that.
I forget what she was talking about.
Talking
about her AFI. No, her. What's those called? Will they all make fun of a person? A roast.
Oh, the roast.
A roast. Yeah. They're roasting her, I guess.
No, they were roasting Roseanne Barr.
She was on the Roseanne roast.
And then she gave people the finger under her.
But she was just sort of ticked off at the lack of creativity of the people roasting her at the same time.
What was the weirdest thing that we saw? I saw a R2 model that had no dome on it, but it had a dummy, like a dummy doll figure of Kenny Baker's head.
Oh, geez.
Bouncing around the top of it, and my son walked past it, and he goes, "What the heck was that?" He thought that was a real person's head, and they're bobbing around. But
that's
it was weird. It took me by surprise.
I don't think there was anything that I saw that I thought was weird. The only thing that kind of bothered me was right at the end. You know, waiting in line, they giving out these star tots that everybody was going nuts over, and waiting in line, and just seeing just how greedy and nasty some of these collectors could be. I've been out of the collecting field for a long time, but just seeing, and if some of you were in those lines, it's not everybody. It was probably just a few.
You know who you are, Jake.
few people that soured the whole experience. Just seeing, people just being nasty and greedy when it came to these stupid little baby Star Wars coin things.
I got them because I could. I didn't care.
No, it's, and what
they're
I neat.
Got, as long as I got some of them.
You think Tim's talking about you?
Yeah,
yeah, you fucker.
Chris was a dick. No, I gave Chris my hammerhead and loose snaggletooth one.
Oh. People imitate my best friend.
That was playing it all weekend.
Kind of would have. Yeah. Yo, yeah, the guy that hosts the stage, Mark. I keep wanting to call him Mark Curry.
Mark Curry.
Double Dare, is that the guy?
No, Mark Curry wasn't the
MTV VJ.
Hang on,
Adam Curry.
Mark Curry wasn't. No.
It was Mark Goodman.
Mr. Cooper?
Hang with Mr. Cooper.
John Goodman.
John Goodman.
Roseanne, see? Rose.
Full circle. Yeah, the guy that hosted the main stage, he hosted he introduced the stages. He had some funny videos, and he was a really good master of ceremonies for pre-show entertainment.
Now it's over, and it's back to the grind, back to work. That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I miss going to bed 2 or 3 in the morning, getting up at 6 to go into the con.
Yeah.
Now I got to do that and go to work. Oh.
They have not announced when the next one in the U.S. is going to be, but I have a feeling it'll be probably two years from now, possibly in Orlando again. They haven't said one way or another.
Did they say what year the Germany one
is? That's next year, 2013.
Yeah.
So,
well, get your German dictionary and start learning.
Start sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Learn how to say sign, please, in German.
And learn how to say the phrase, great city, never been there.
Yeah. So, for those of you, I guess we're sort of winding down. We should have our panel up, audio and hopefully video soon, that you can check out in the next couple weeks. That's all I got.
Oh, you had to put it in there, didn't you? Did you have fun, Dave, when you were there?
It was fine.
Why didn't you stay? You know, why didn't you come back any other than 4 days?
I just didn't. I did see the best thing that I saw was a stormtrooper. You know, people, they modify their thing and some try to be funny. There was a stormtrooper in full on Adidas gear with the gold chain and a whole Run DMC going on, and he had a stormtrooper boombox and he was playing old school rap carrying it around. I took a picture of him.
I saw a dude. It might have been the same dude. It was a little stormtrooper playing the old school rap with a gigantic, like, huge, gigantic, fat stormtrooper, like, was supposed to be his, like, bodyguard.
I don't know. This guy looked pretty good. I took a picture of it. I'll put it on our Facebook page.
Tim, tell about what we saw in that tank.
Yeah, they had a full-scale replica of the Bacta tank.
And it looked really cool.
It was really awesome.
T1V. And FX-7 to both sides of it.
And we were walking by, and this dude decided to get super accurate.
Oh, yep.
God. And he stripped down to his semi-tighty whiteies.
Baggy, saggy whiteies.
To get his picture. But I got to say, man, if I had the cojones to do that, I probably would.
He had them. You know why? We saw him.
Yeah. But, everybody, you know, he wanted authenticity in his art.
Yeah.
So. And speaking of stormtroopers, I know I said that's all I had, but I got more.
There's always more.
Tim, we know.
Speaking of stormtroopers, there was the 5 Muppet stormtroopers, which I thought was really creative. There was a Gonzo and a Miss Piggy and
that was cool.
Animal and Kermit stormtroopers, and I thought that was really cool. And I saw when I was walking by, there was this girl. She just probably couldn't have been older than like 2 and a half, and little Gonzo was bending over to shake her hand, but this girl was like amazed at who is this blue weirdo?
Muppets are stupid.
<Uh-oh>. What now?
Our studio audience is I think getting up and leaving.
All 2 of them.
They want a refund.
Yeah. So if you guys were there at the show,
put some pictures on Facebook.
If you took some pictures, post them. If you guys are new listeners to the show, I know a lot of those
new
people that came to that show had no idea that we were a podcast. So if you're a new listener to the show and you started listening as a result of the Obscure Character Face-Off, let us know. Go to our Facebook page. Post what you liked. Do not post what you didn't like.
And the biggest thanks of all has to go to Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh. We're sending in all the paperwork, contacting them constantly, constant emails, updates, script rewrites, technology, and stuff we probably don't even know about. So thank you, Matt, for doing this on all of our behalfs.
You're welcome. I had a blast.
Matt's going to take a long sleep now.
I am. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to going back to work and only going back to work. couldn't have done it without you guys, of course, too. So thank you for doing your part. It was far more than I was even could bear to imagine. I even, you know, stretch my imagination to saying what if scenarios, and we even exceeded those. It was so much fun between the crowd, between Dave Quint, my sister coming down to help out. It was a great time.
Yep, 500 people in a room laughing at the crap that we came up with.
Yep,
literally.
So, congratulations, everybody.
Great job, guys.
That's right.
Woo! And you too, Watt Tambor.
I don't think Watt Tambor pops.
Only when those fuses blow.
All right.
All right.
Cool.
That was low key, but informative. Yeah.